The rules were kept simple. Short pleadings, no discovery, quick justice, decisions on the spot. And all decisions were binding if both parties submitted to the jurisdiction of the court. No appeals. There was nowhere to take one. Witnesses were not given an oath to tell the truth. Lying was completely expected. It was, after all, a prison. "What's next?" Spicer asked. T. Carl hesitated for a second, then said,
"It's the Wiz case."
Things were suddenly still for a moment. Then the plastic cafeteria chairs rattled forward in one noisy offensive. The Wiz matter had been festering for months at Trumbull. Wiz was a young Wall Street crook who had bilked some rich clients. $4 million had never been accounted for, and legend held that Wiz had stashed it offshore and managed it from inside Trumbull. It was widely assumed that he was quietly serving his time until one glorious day when he would walk free, still a young man, and fly off in a private jet to a beach where the money was waiting. Inside, the legend only grew, partly because Wiz kept to himself and spent long hours every day reading impenetrable economic publications. Even the warden had tried to cajole him into sharing market tips. An ex-lawyer known as Rook had somehow got next to Wiz and convinced him to share a small morsel of advice with an investment club that met once a week in the prison chapel. On behalf of the club, Rook was now suing the Wiz for fraud. Rook took the witness chair and began his narrative. "So I go to the Wiz and I ask him what he thinks about Value Now, a new online company I read about in Forbes," Rook explained. "Wiz said it was a solid company and the stock would go through the roof."
"I did not say that,"
the Wiz inserted quickly.
"Yes, you did."
"I did not." "Anyway, I say, look, Wiz, you think you could pull some strings with your buddies on Wall Street and get us a few shares of Value Now?" And Wiz said he thought he could do that.
"He's lying,"
Wiz said, as if there was a rule against it. "Anyway," Rook continued, "we borrowed all we could from friends and family and had close to $1,000.
$1,000, repeated Justice Spicer. "Not bad for an inside job."
"Then what happened?" "On Wednesday, I saw Wiz in the East Yard, and I asked him about the stock. He said no problem."
"That's a lie,"
Wiz shot from across the room. "I got a witness, Picasso." Picasso was sitting behind Rook, as were the other six members of the investment club.
"Is that true?" Spicer asked.
"Yep,"
Picasso answered.
"Rook asked about the stock. Wiz said he would get it. No problem."
Picasso testified in a lot of cases and had been caught lying more than most inmates.
"Continue," Spicer said.
"Friday, the stock goes public," Rook went on. "It was offered at 20 a share, the price we could have bought it for if Mr. Wall Street over there had done what he promised. It opened at 60, spent most of the day at 80, then closed at 70. Our plans were to sell it as soon as possible. We could have bought 50 shares at 20, sold them at 80, and walked away from the deal with $3,000 in profits."
"And you think the Wiz owes you these lost profits?" asked ex-Chief Justice Finn Yarber, now plucking his eyebrows.
"Damn right we do. Look, what makes the deal stink even worse is that Wiz bought Value Now for himself."
"That's a damn lie," Wiz said.
"Language, please,"
Justice Beach said. "If you wanted to lose a case before the brethren, just offend Beach with your language."
"Is that all?"
Spicer asked Rook. Rook had other points he wanted to elaborate on, but the brethren had no patience with windy litigants, especially ex-lawyers still reliving their glory days. There were at least five of them at Trumbull, and they seemed to be on the docket all the time.
"I guess so," Rook said.